Guys, Watch What Crappens is proud to be a part of the 5th Annual Los Angeles Podcast Festival.
The festival is September 23rd through September 25th at the Sofitel in Beverly Hills, California. That's fancy.
If you're in the Los Angeles area and want to see us in the stellar lineup of podcasts at the festival, go to www.lapodfest.com and get your tickets today.
And if you cannot join us in person, you can watch the live video stream from the Podfest itself. Go to www.lapodfest.com to purchase the live stream and use the code CRAPPINS to save $5 off your purchase.
This gets you the live stream for the whole weekend. That's over 30 live podcasts and panels and access to the Podfest video archives, including additional shows from the Podfest preview night at the Hollywood Improv.
Watch What Crappens will be live from the festival on Sunday, September 25th at 7 p.m. Pacific Coast time. You are not going to want to miss this.
Either way, we will see you there, or you'll see us there.
Watch What Crappens. Watch What Crappens. What happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, and joining me is the hilarious and wonderful and just simply divine Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Pricks podcast and Big Brother Smother podcast. Hey Ronnie, what is up?
Hello Ben!
How are you?
So good. My gas works.
Ronnie's gas works. He's been eating a lot of beans. Huh? Just kidding. We just recorded a bonus episode, and we had a few interruptions from a gas man who came over to Ronnie's place to make sure pilot lights were working and he wasn't going to die on us or explode. So
living.
Living. Yeah. Little fun times there. The bonus episode, if you're new to this podcast, you have no idea what we're talking about. We do a weekly bonus episode, which is additional content. And you can listen to it if you support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. And at the very least, if you support us there, you get access to this weekly bonus episode. This week's was a bit bonkers, I would have to say. Was it not?
It was crazy. But there's a lot of Angelina in there, y'all.
I mean, how could it not be bonkers on a day when Brangelina has been ripped asunder by themselves?
Also, so, Ricky Schroeder and his wife. I mean,
oh yeah, yeah. It's just a tough day for America. So we talk about that. We talk about Walmart and Leonardo DiCaprio and Emmys and just everything. So go to Patreon, support us, and you can get access to that weekly hangouts. We're gonna do one next Thursday. Yes, next Thursday is our monthly. I said weekly hangout. I meant monthly hangout. We're gonna do a monthly hangout next Thursday, which is going to be September 29th.
Hell yeah, party time.
Same day as my friend Sarah's birthday. And then, of course, you can, I'm like deranged today, but you can also contribute to the Crappens mailbag. And we have a new thing that we're starting up today. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but through Patreon, you can also help us out with that. So there's that. This week, Ronnie and I are going to be performing. We're going to be doing a special Crappens episode from the LA Podfest this Sunday at 7 p.m. at the Sofitel in Beverly Hills. Our special guest will be Molly McAleer, who is always hilarious. We will have more details on what we're doing later this week. But if you're in town, come to the LA Podfest and watch us. And if you're not, you can actually watch us on their feed. And if you sign up for their feed and use the promo code Crappens, you get $5 off, which is really cool. So we really hope everyone comes and sees us, because we'll be mortified if we only have 5 people there.
Oh, Ben, don't be mortified.
I'm always mortified. Also, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. Join in the conversation there. Super fun. And watchwhatcrappens.com to get access to our social media links, you know, like Snapchat and Instagram and all that stuff. So that's all the news that's fit to print in terms of that. So why don't we, shall we move forward? Is there anything else we have to talk about at the top of the show here?
No, let's move forward.
Moving forward. So normally this is the time when we do our Crappens mailbag, which we love and adore. But we thought we'd change it up, you know, just for variety's sake. And we've decided we're going to introduce a new segment. We haven't really named the segment. So we decided that we're going to do this segment on Tuesdays, and we'll do Crappens Mailbag on Thursdays. And if anyone has been on our Facebook page recently, I went onto Facebook Live last week, and I teased this a little bit. There's this game called Super Fight. It's a party game that you can just buy and play. And it's this really fun game where you sort of have, you basically have an argument with a friend over who would win a fight. Like, would it be, if you play Superman versus Batman, who would win? And what if it was Superman with, like, five hands versus a Batman who could, you know, shrink? You know, who would fight, right? It's a theoretical fight.
Okay.
And you figure out how this, what the parameters are by drawing cards from this deck. So I went and I bought this game because I thought, wouldn't it be hilarious if we did Super Fight for Real Housewives or really any Bravo people?
Okay.
So the new segment that we have not named, I don't know, should we call it Bravo Super Fight?
I'm down.
Crappens Super Fight.
Okay.
I actually made a little jingle because I was bored, but we haven't actually named it. What's going to happen is we're going to pick two people from the Bravo universe at random. And then we're going to draw cards from this deck, which will give them special attributes. And we are going to debate a little bit about who would win a fight.
Okay.
And then we're going to turn it over to the listeners. And if you are a Patreon supporter, you can write in. We'll make a little entry where you can write in and say who you think would win the fight. And then next week we'll read what you say, and we'll declare a winner based on that. And whoever wins the fight will then go on to take on a new opponent.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
So why don't we do the Crappens Super Fight?
Okay, do it.
Let's fight.
Okay,
let's fight.
Let's fight. Okay. I'm reaching into...
Are you rolling a die right now?
No, I have a paper bag.
OMG. Okay.
So... I took a bunch of Bravo names and put them in the bag, and I'm pulling one out randomly. So our first contender is Vicky Gunvalson.
Oh God, she wins.
Vicky Gunvalson, who has a time machine phone booth and throws knives.
And who?
She throws knives.
Okay.
So Vicky has a time machine phone booth and can throw knives versus Lisa Rinna, who is pregnant. She's pregnant and riding a motorcycle. So can a pregnant Lisa Rinna on a motorcycle beat Vicky Gunvalson throwing knives at her with a time machine?
Oh my God. Okay, I think no, because Vicky Gunvalson, you know she's a terrible aim. I feel like every time she has an insurance meeting and she's like, okay, here's a dart. You know, whatever you throw it on is the kind of free insurance your daughter will get for the month or whatever. You know, she always gets like the wall. It's like she's the worst. Well, she wouldn't be able to aim.
I feel like Vicky, she would have this time machine, this phone booth time machine, but she's like, I don't know how to work it. Like, she's like, I don't know what to do. Like, what? How does it work? What's going on? She wouldn't be able to use it, and she'd spend all her time trying to figure out how to make her time machine work. That she wouldn't even throw any of her knives. And Lisa Rinna, hormonal and pregnant, would come and just ride around with that motorcycle, and then Vicky would just faint and die.
I feel like Vicky would go back in time, but then she'd get so preoccupied with her own face that she wouldn't even be able to fight with anybody. She'd be like, here I am, back in 2016. And then she'd go back to like the beginning of 2016 and be like, whoa, what's that?
She'd probably go to a really terrible time for her. She would probably like accidentally go to like 736 AD and start asking for baby Troy.
Lisa Rinna was just be like, I'm on a motorcycle. This is nuts.
Own it, baby. Own your knives, baby. Stop throwing them at me. Own it, baby. I'm having a baby, baby.
I love that even in a hypothetical game, Vicky's throwing knives at a pregnant woman. Like, she's never just a good person.
It's very, very true.
Probably trying to sell the bitch insurance at the same time.
And I love the idea that Lisa Rinna pregnant is somehow a menacing thing. Like, whoa, I don't know if I want to get into a fight with a pregnant Lisa Rinna, especially on wheels. Own it, baby.
Buying little baby wigs.
All right. So,
baby wig store.
What do you guys think? Who wins the fight? Vicky Gunvalson throwing knives and access to a time machine, or a pregnant Lisa Rinna just on a motorcycle? Not even really attacking, she's just on a motorcycle.
This game is so unbalanced. Like, she can't even run anybody over with her motorcycle.
she can totally run someone over if
but
she
then
wants.
She'll be thrown off the bike with the baby inside of her, like she like there's no winning.
Well, maybe she'll jump off and just send the motorcycle running into Vicky's time machine. Vicky's like in the time machine trying to make the buttons work, and then the motorcycle goes flying into it and knocks her over.
It knocks her over in 1987, but she wears a neck brace until 2032.
She just goes back to 1985 and finds some Libyans.
When the cutout dress made sense.
I just like that she goes to a different time period, just starts throwing knives everywhere. Like some Super Mario Brothers villain. Oh, I'm here now. Knife, 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 knife. Uh-huh. It's the real reason why the dinosaurs went extinct, and Vicky went back in time and knifed them all.
Oh, darling. No matter what year you travel back to, Gretchen will always have a younger face. Sorry. There's no fixing the unfixable.
However. It's a Gretchen Brontosaurus.
However.
All right. Enough of that super fight. Let's close it out.
Shut up. You're stupid.
Fun times.
Fun All right. times.
All right. Shall we move on to before we move on to Real Housewives of Orange County, I feel like we have something to talk about.
What?
Well, something that'll make you smile, Ronnie.
Do it, Ben.
Well, everyone deserves a smile they'll love, but they shouldn't have to pay their orthodontist a small fortune for it. Am I right?
Smile, ain't that the truth?
Yeah. Smile Direct Club is the first digital brand for your smile, leveraging technology to help avoid office visits and cut costs by up to 70%. Smile Direct Club prides themselves on selling self-confidence at a very affordable price.
Yeah. Smile Direct Club uses 3D printing and thermoforming to custom make invisible aligners that straighten and brighten your smile.
Yeah. So Smile Direct Club uses proprietary, cutting-edge technology to help avoid the inconvenience and cost of office visits to your dentist and orthodontist, which can help cut costs up to 70%.
Yeah. Smile Direct Club aligners cost a single payment of $1,500. Lab costs waived. Whoa. Other invisible aligner brands cost $5,000 on average.
Yeah.
Or you can take advantage of an easy payment plan. It's only $250 down and $99 a month for 15 months. No credit check required.
Yeah. There is a $95 risk-free evaluation to see if you qualify for a Smile Direct Club. If you don't qualify, you get your money back. Our listeners are being offered 50% off this evaluation cost. Visit smiledirectclub.com/crappins today to save on this offer. If you, your children ages 12 or more or older, or anyone you know is interested in training their smile.
Board certified state licensed dentists and orthodontists within Smile Direct Club Network are involved throughout the process to assess and prescribe remote treatment.
Yeah, and the treatment times are about 5 months, and they range from, they can range from 3 to 10 months. And
it can also be an easy solution for people who had braces but failed to wear their retainers and their teeth shifted back. You know who you are.
Yeah, you know who you are, teeth shifter. Teeth shifter. Okay, so everyone go to smiledirectclub.com slash Crappens, okay? And you know, it's important. Ronnie is actually on a very personal journey of evaluation at this moment. Are you not?
Yes, I'm just starting with my treatment right now. The video, let's see here. Just go to, I was going to start talking about a video. That is not necessary. No, you're going to want to see a video when you just got straighter ass teeth.
Just to give everyone the special offer.
Yes. Save 50% off the cost of the Smile Direct Club evaluation by visiting smiledirectclub.com/crappens. That's smiledirectclub.com/crappens.
Yeah.
Unavailable in North Carolina, but everywhere else is good. Give them a internet ring.
Yeah. So everyone, go do that. Go fix your mouth. Fix your mouth.
Fix your face.
All right. Well, we've talked about janky teeth. We've talked about violent fights. So naturally, it's time to get on to Real Housewives of Orange County. Is it not?
Oh, Orange County, full of such gold this week.
Yeah.
I'm the Orange County's Rodney King.
Oh my God. Same night that there was a police shooting. Please.
Fucking Tamra. Tone deaf Tamra.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want her any other way. Like, literally, Shannon.
Oh, goodness. So yes, continue.
You sew it.
I'm going to take a sip for my coffee.
Oh, that's a good idea. Hey, everybody. Guess what? It's time to go to rock and roll school with the B-Doors.
Yeah.
Her kids are in some rock club, and I don't understand the name. It's Lock?
Yeah, this didn't make sense. So they're calling themselves Lock because they're ladies of rock. But I'm like, you know, that's not really how that works. I forget what you call them. What do you call it? ASAP? I keep on saying anachronism, but that's not correct. You know, antonym? No.
I don't know. I'm really stupid, and this show doesn't help. It just kills more brain cells. I'm like, wow, I'm as stupid as I've ever been. And then I watch this show, and I forget I even said that.
Yeah.
So we get the regular getting ready in the morning thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Tamra is in a scene with my favorite supporting character, Christian Crazy Workout Lady.
Mia.
It's like, squat! Squat like Jesus, bitch! I just love Workout Christian.
That wafer, bitch!
So she's working up, and Workout Christian is actually like, back it up! Back it up! Which, I still miss you, Real Housewives of New York. Come back!
I know, please.
So Tamara's like, this is the first time I've done squats since the accident, batch. I go, Tamara, stop making it sound like you've been, like, run over by a train and you can barely believe that you're still here. Okay?
I know. She's really taking this and running with it. Like, my back is spasming, bitch. It's like Jesus is saying hello to my vertebrae.
It's like, sometimes it spasms and sometimes it doesn't, batch.
Wait,
I like that Mia, Crazy Workout Christian, is like, okay, well, your injury is a reflection, not an extension. Is that from the Bible? Where are you even getting that?
I don't know. I think she just found some words and put them together. By the way, the word is acronym. Lock, acronym. For those of you who are sitting listening being like, acronym. That's what we were trying to say before.
And that is a reflection, not an extension. It's a definition of a reflection. Okay, Tamara, now squat, batch.
Now squat, batch.
I felt bad for Mia because she had to pretend to be the husband in this scene where we always see the wife talking to the husband. He has to pretend he gives a crap what they're talking about. Cameron's like, people are mean to me. She's like, I really don't care. Like, I'm paid for 5 more minutes to be here. Finish.
Yeah. She's like, well, you found Christ and they haven't yet. So, you know, that's just the way it is. She's like, Mia, like, my halo is crooked, bitch. And Mia fixes it, bitch. It's great.
I told her to go to hell, bitch. Mia's like, now, people in the Bible don't say that. I'm like, literally, God says it all the time. Like, that's what the Bible is based around, okay?
Literally, do the right thing, you go to heaven. Do the wrong thing, you go to hell, bitch.
What church do you go to? Sounds amazing.
The Ten Commandments, bitch.
Come from love, Tamara. She's like, yeah, well, I wanted to say shut the fuck up before I punch you in the face, bitch. And then Tamara is so mad about Megan, and she tells Mia, I can't understand who can't have compassion for somebody who's been in an accident. Tamara, do you not remember trying to derail Vicky's entire life?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You literally kicked the crutches. And by crutches, I mean, you know, Brooks's probably half full penis right out from under her.
And let's face it, everyone in Orange County is basically a car wreck. So really, Tamara should have a lot more compassion if she's going to start saying those sort of things.
You can't just start feeling for every wreck that walks through the door, okay?
Yeah. So meanwhile, the Bedore daughters, we've learned, have created this poorly acronymed rock band called Ladies of Rock, a.k.a. Lock, which is really should be Lore, but whatever. So they are going to be performing.
That's like Lord of the Rings.
It's like too close to Lord.
Which actually they probably would have sold more tickets. They're like L-O-R in concert. But to
Lore.
Nerds covered in their own sperm would show up.
Or people who think it's going to be Lord from New Zealand. So
Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
She's all pretending to know the words to a dream catcher.
I'm actually surprised Taylor Swift was not at this concert in the front row singing along.
It's like new 15-year-olds on the rock scene. I'm in.
So they're in like a rehearsal session, and Shannon's like, wow, who feels like a rock star? Wow. Wow. Wow.
It's rock and roll. It's rock and roll. It's rock and roll. You gotta feel it.
They're like, shut up, mom, idiot.
I'm like, mom, I'm a cool mom now. Listen, I like rock and roll.
You're not rock and roll until you get some ass hair from doing lines off your dad's crack. Yeah, now who's rock and roll? Is Shannon Bedore rock and roll?
Yep.
Yes. Yes. If sticking an enema up your butt and getting it stuck up there isn't rock and roll, then I don't know what is. David?
I had a thumb up my butt last season. There is rock and roll.
David? David, am I rock and roll? David? 40 to 50
dear,
rock and roll thoughts a day.
Rock and roll, dear. I would like to make an announcement that your mother is the most rock and roll mom. Did I say it right, dear? That'll suffice, David.
I'm like a regular Nelson Brothers band. Am I right? Mom. Can't live without your love and affection. David? David, do you have love and affection for me too? David? David?
I'm a real Tiffany, girls.
Do I want to sing in malls? No. No. Is it only my dreams? No. That's Debbie Gibson? No.
Is her name Deborah now?
Yes.
Do I know that because I'm rock and roll? Yeah.
My favorite band is Def Leppard, only because I identify with what it must feel like to be with a deaf person like David who never listens to me. David? David!
I just want someone to feel my vibrations like a Def Leppard would.
Damn it.
So the guy teaching this rock school is... I know that I bring up Muppets all the time.
Yes.
Partly it's because I will never age in my brain.
Yeah.
I mean, my back hair does, but my brain doesn't necessarily. You guys, this guy was that Muppet who plays the saxophone. What was his name?
Doc something? No, yeah. The saxophone one? I can't keep them all, I don't know all the names of the people, all the Muppet Band members.
It, like, literally doesn't matter. I don't even know why I asked you. That was just, like, a stressful pop quiz question that nobody should have to be prepared for. But he's there, and my notes were, his dye job on his beard, and his hair is terrible, and he probably wears that suit everywhere he goes.
Yes,
every minute of the day to bed.
As evidenced by the fact we saw him in the same suit twice.
Yes,
I wrote down that he looked like Carlos Santana as a private investigator.
What kind of things would he investigate? I don't even want to know. Just change your suit.
That'll be for the next Crappens mailbag.
So Shannon is doing a Real Housewives of Cheshire where she's like, Nate Dolby? And trying to give notes on this rock band because this is an exact storyline. Like when you're taken from Cheshire. But Shannon's like, I'm rock and roll. I was in the Madrigals. Like, what the fuck is that?
It's an elite singing group. A cappella.
Elite. Very elite. A cappella.
Nothing says rock and roll like a cappella. Like Pentatonix? I have not rocked out since the last time I've been to a concert like that.
Sterling wanted her to die. He's like, please die. Please just die. She wouldn't stop talking. Can I be the first to say on the Crappens podcast that that kid can drum her ass off? Jeez.
Yeah, good for her.
I was like, there's the talent.
Yeah. Well,
young Sophie, or whatever her
good
name is.
Good old Sophie. Well, it's a good way to channel your adolescent rage at your dysfunctional parents, right? Drumming.
Dreamcatcher!
Yeah, by the way, did anyone inform those lovely girls that they had completely ripped off Pat Benatar? Because someone's going to have to mention that at some point.
They think they wrote it.
Yeah.
Like, well, if you're going to write from your experience, write from my Nightmare Catcher. How about that? Almost Chlamydia Catcher. How about that?
Nightmare David. Nightmare David.
Chlamydia Catcher.
A few notes. Why don't we change the word dream to nightmare and then change the word nightmare to chlamydia? Thanks.
And we'll change chlamydia to it's your mother's fault, David.
So Vicky still milking. I mean, that girl might as well get a farm. She's making some cheese with all that milk. She's got even a different neck brace now. She's like, well, this one's more fashionable. I was like, is that a neck? It's like Waddle Spanx. It's not even a neck brace at this point.
Yeah, she got Shannon's voicemail where Shannon's like, well, I didn't understand the severity of it. And I guess I was just overloaded with so many positive thoughts about my marriage because David is just... David, so wonderful. Such a wonderful husband. Anyway, I'm sorry. I hope you're feeling better.
I just wanted to say that everything I heard about your accident was totally different than how I heard it later. And we're so happy.
Here lies Shannon Bedore, killed by preconceptions about Vicky's accident and utter happiness.
If you could be tickled to death by love, I would be dead, David!
David! If I have never been so happy as the time I thought about 15 years of misery with my mother-in-law. So happy! Happy!
Oh, stupid Vicky. Vicky really is just going to milk this. Now, suddenly, Vicky is forgiven for everything. Vicky never did anything wrong because she's got a fake neck injury. She's like... You know, a real friend would just drop everything and come. Like, if she was a real friend, she would have come. If she was real, but she's not. She wouldn't even care if I was paralyzed. And you're not getting a call back, Miss Shannon Bedore.
No, you're a fake. You're not even a real person. You're like Casper the Friendly Ghost. That's what you are, but you're not friendly. You're Casper the Mean Ghost. You're just like, you know what you are? You're just a mean ghost. That's all.
You're as fake as Brooks's cancer.
You're fake. Slimer. Okay? Slimer. You're Slimer.
And not the redo, the original.
Yeah, original Slimer, because you're old. You're just as old.
I was just in the time machine, and I saw him, and trust me.
I threw so many knives at him, and all he did was spray Jello on me, okay? And that's what you are. I went back to Slimer's age, and he wouldn't die. Oh, and don't
but then
get
he had
started.
A baby.
Don't get me started on Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I'm still waiting for to get my knives back from him. They just go right in there and get stuck.
Oh, Lord. So next up, Kelly and Tamara on the phone. Mm. They're all going to go to Shannon's packing party.
Great.
And Tamara, because she's such a good person, she's like, I'm going to go help Shannon pack batch, but I told her I will only come if you invite Kelly to our batch.
And then we have a flashback of Shannon like, well, I guess if I'm telling you to make up with Megan King Edmonds, then I suppose that I can make up with Kelly. Which is then what caused Tamara to then say, I thought you were going to say it.
What happened?
Thought you were going to say it.
Oh,
you had
I thought
very
you
funny
had a sound cue. I was like, ooh, I can't wait to hear it.
No, Batch. I mean, I can play a sound cue, but it won't have anything to do with anything.
Judgy eyes.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
That's the best one.
Yeah.
So yeah, everybody's dying over this invitation to that huge party in Shannon's closet.
Wait, you didn't even say the quote, which is that's when Tamara said, that because that
I'm
she is
the Rodney King of the OC, bitch.
Who says that? Like the only, I don't even.
Can't we all just get along? I'm like, well, I wish you were the Rodney King of the OC, so that way a bunch of people could come and beat you up on the side of a highway.
Rodney King's face healed better than yours. Let's be honest.
Oh,
that's the least disgusting joke I could think of to use on this podcast. You're all welcome, okay? It could have been worse.
Rodney King died, didn't he? He's dead, right?
Yeah, he died.
Oh. So.
I'm laughing because that's
funny. Here lies Rodney King, killed by David's infidelity. No, actually, he died of natural. He died of, I think he had a heart attack. No, it's David's infidelity, I'm pretty sure.
I love when Kelly's like somewhat sober and just totally forgets everything that happened before. She's like, Glamis made me feel like this feud is stupid. Like, why was I fighting with beer? I never should have been fighting with beer. I love beer. Like, I learned in Glamis how much love I have for beer. Stupid Kelly.
Yeah.
Vicky talks men. Okay. So Vicky is with Brianna. So, of course, this is the point at which I thought, okay, time to make a potato. So I got up and went to the kitchen. <Yeah. 'cause... laughs>
Why not something starchy and tasteless?
Vicky's telling Brianna, I was alone at Christmas. Isn't that why people get married, so they don't have to be alone at Christmas? Like, is that why? Yes. That's probably your issue, Vicky.
Yeah.
Not a good reason. And then Brianna tells us, yeah, my mom's like totally faking it for attention. But then she gets attention and she likes it. So then she fakes it even more to get the reaction of the faking in the first place.
Oh, God.
Spoken like someone who doesn't even care that her mother just leased her a car.
Yeah. And then Ryan came back. I feel like, is this like the new thing that Ryan, every episode Ryan just shows up and it's like, oh, Ryan's back and he's gained 15 more pounds.
It's like one of those little marks your mom makes on the doorway when you're growing up. Like, here he is a foot taller. It's like, okay, we know it's about episode 12 because Ryan's gained 30 pounds. Make a notch of the belts. Literally.
I know. So then we cut to Shannon, and she's on the phone with David. David, I'm so bloated today. I had a dream that I was stressed, so I took some adrenal. I took adrenal, David.
Can't wait to fuck you, dear. David.
I won't tell Mother Donna about this.
Dear.
Did you notice? Well, she's talking about how she won't let anybody pack her stuff, and show like the black and white clips. They're like, remember this memory? It was like 5 minutes ago. But she's opening a closet door and it's just all lampshades. Did you notice that?
Yes, there's a lot of lampshades.
She has an entire closet full of lampshades.
David, I don't want any shadows here that could cause you to make out with someone in them. David?
It's just all the different shades she wears on her head when she's spying on David at the beach.
Don't mind me, I'm just a talking lamp. Just a regular talking lamp. Not your wife at all. Go ahead, David. Talk to the lady.
Oh, God. All right.
Packing party.
Oh, God.
Delusional Kelly. Well, I don't know if Shanna's going to be a loose cannon and go off on me. Poor Kelly. She's like, here's some Trader Joe's Prosecco. Thanks for having me over.
Yeah, they both are basically accusing themselves. Like, well, I don't know if Kelly's going to go off on me. She's a loose cannon. Well, I don't know if Shannon's going to go off on me because she's a loose cannon.
I hope I don't have to call her ugly. Shannon. Well, one would hope that Kelly wouldn't attack me in my own home. Am I nervous? Yep.
Especially because that's your own home till noon today. Yeah. Then it becomes someone else's home and it won't be tacky anymore.
All
she calls you
off.
Ugly and hits you with the lampshade.
Yeah, so apparently it's okay to eat appetizers on the couch because it doesn't belong to you anymore, but Kelly isn't allowed to make fun of you in your house because it does belong to you. I don't get it, Shannon.
Oh, that's a good point.
I liked also the inherent, I don't know what it is. Is it privilege? Is it classism? Whatever it is. When Shannon's like, well, I don't want the movers to pack anything. I don't want germs from the movers on my things.
I don't want to catch poor.
I mean, what if I get sick? What if I get one of those Spanish diseases? I don't know how to speak Latin.
What if I have to stand in front of the Home Depot waiting for somebody to give me an adrenal?
I'm like, you realize you're letting Tamara handle your goods, and yet you're still afraid of germs?
Yeah. How is Tamara okay, but nothing else? Oh, poor Tamara. Tamara's being so nice this year.
She really is.
Like right now, when she's being such a good Christian, she's like, you're going to be neighbors with Kelly, batch. She's just trying to stir shit in every sentence.
And Kelly's like, oh, sweetie, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say those things. I didn't mean to call you stupid. I don't know. I just was overwhelmed. I was, you know, I'm just very educated, and I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I really didn't mean it. Shannon's like, oh, great. I accept it. Yeah, no, that's great. That means a lot to me. I'm
Tamara's like, you don't accept it. To be clear, we're talking about when she called you a cut fitness, right?
Yes, she did. She actually said that.
I don't think we need to put a pinpoint on that, Tamara, but okay.
I'm a very forgiving person when Shannon said that. Yeah. I just wrote LOL.
Mother Donna comes in and is like, she's not, well, I don't know what she would say, but just imagine your Mother Donna has an issue with it.
She's always hated me. Like, I'm a very, very forgiving person.
Okay, so purging the closet. Everybody, I thought I had something about germs. When you said, like, why would you let Tamara in? I just put, you can't have germs, but you're letting a woman with sick children in your closet with Tamara, or six children in your closet and Tamara.
Yeah.
Like Heather's like covered in germs from like 20 different private schools.
I know. Well, that would be if Heather actually touched her children. I know. She's very hands on mother.
I can't believe everyone was so rude about her stuff. I mean, it is tacky, but this is the cast of Orange County. This is like the cutout cast of America. What are they judging?
I have no idea, but I like Shannon's defense of her shoes. Like, no, those are green. They're non-toxic. We have to keep them.
I'm keeping those until they decompose in my closet.
But it was funny because basically they just, like, throw all her shoes on the floor and they're like, that was a lot of work, bitch. Let's go downstairs now. I was like, this house is never going to get packed.
Like, we've criticized everything you own. Okay, let's go drink your stuff. You just hear Megan.
Hello? Hello, is anybody here? I'm letting myself in.
Speaking of brontosauruses.
I don't want to be around her right now. She's telling people I'm reckless, bitch.
God forbid anyone would ever call Tamara reckless.
After a wreck.
Yeah.
That she caused. Heather, so Shannon's inviting everyone. She's like, well, who wants to have fun hearing my kids sing off key at the Blue Beat?
Spelled B-E-E-T.
Yeah, the Blue Beat.
Like an actual vegetable. So they're all sitting down. And then Tamara and Megan are being very frosty because Tamara's like, yeah, betch. It's like hard for me to hyperextend my back. And Megan's like, how often do you do that? She's like, every time I work out, betch.
Do you hyperextend it a lot? The music's like, dun, dun, dun.
It was. And then Tamara's like, I'm going to leave instead of acting like there are no issues here because clearly nobody wants to talk. Meaning you, Megan. I was like, thanks, Tamara.
And then like, that's really sad. Have I mentioned that it's almost my 1-year anniversary party with the Butthole Steaming Company? Have I brought that up? Then we go to commercial, and guess who it is?
Who?
Our favorite gay bully laugh.
Yeah, Madison Hildebrand.
He's like, I'm back.
Oh, gosh. Run for the hills.
I'm really, really back this time.
FF.
So then Tamara and Megan start to get into it, and Tamara's like, I just can't believe you call me reckless. And then Megan's like, you think it was okay for you to tell me to go to hell? I was like, oh, my God.
I like Megan's arguing skills, though, because she comes prepared. She's like, well, actually, on the phone, you literally said. She goes, oh, really? I said I was reckless, bitch. And then it cuts to her, and she's like,
I was driving, but I was, like, playing around. Like, I was very confident. I was, like I was wasted, let's face it. Like, I was like, I'm wasted. And then I turned too hard on purpose, and then, like, we've rolled over, and I was like, oh, fuck, I did this totally. It's my fault.
Tamara has no argument. None.
But I love how always the germ of Megan's arguments are from some like injustice that was like that happened as was to Megan. Like, you told me to go to hell. I can't believe that. That's so hurtful.
And like, you find that to be okay? You think that's okay? I did your economics homework. And then you said to go to hell. You think that's okay, Tamara?
I have a lot on my plate. Like, literally, I just learned how to do rice-a-roni.
It took me 7 minutes. The box said two. Don't even get it. That's like, an injustice.
I'm on a journey, like, with needles and stuff. Like, that's an injustice. How could I go to hell when I'm just trying to work with needles?
Tamara's waffling sides. She got the entire cast going up against Vicky last year, and now she's acting like Vicky is this huge victim. She's like, oh, so you feel the need to go around town, batch, telling everybody that, like, I got a phone call from someone saying that you said I was reckless. Really? Because she just shot a scene with Vicky where she said, I'm so mad at Tamara for being reckless. I wonder who told you.
Yeah, exactly. But then they like reach this uneasy truce where Tamara's like, sorry I said go to hell, not sorry I hung up on you. And Megan's like, okay, thanks.
But you were insinuating I was a bad person.
But I didn't call you fat.
Okay, hugs.
I'm glad that Tamara maintained her dignity by apologizing for the hell, but not for the hang up. It's really and important delineation.
Heather puts a nice period on it, literally. She's like, okay, it's time to move on. Period.
Claw hands.
Claw. I was wondering what that was.
That's the sound of claw. It probably just sounds like fapping in your ears, but it's really claw hands.
It's very conservative Heather fap. It's like...
We fap quietly. We only fap in our fapping room. So
Rihanna's family at Mexican food. I was like, my potatoes are halfway done now.
Yeah, so it's like Brianna and Ryan, the babies, Michael and Vicky. Vicky has now like adopted a Suzanne Summers hairstyle, and she comes in with it. They're at a Mexican restaurant.
Sorry I'm late, but I was getting my hair done. I would like to give a cheers to my new hair. It's like, Mom, it's my birthday. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, your birthday too then. Cheers to family.
I went back in time and got you a gift.
It's Lisa Rinna's baby that I took right from her stomach with a knife while she was on a motorcycle.
Here's a helmet I got from Lisa Rinna from 1992. She was pregnant. Mom, you don't have to make sacrificial killings for me. No, it's what all mothers want to do.
Oh, God. So then they have nothing to talk about. God bless this family. Yeah. Brianna's just like, gosh, she bought us a house, so I'll let her buy me some enchiladas.
Yeah.
You're a big person, Brianna. So she's like, guys, I want to talk about something. Shannon Bedour called me. Great. Can I please have a quesadilla?
And then she's like, yeah, she called to say get better soon. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, Mom, that was kind of nice of her. Yeah.
I like when Brianna's answer is always like, you're an idiot.
She's like, okay. Oh, well. All right.
Okay. Pass the chili rellenos.
Okay. I'll get this check.
And then, then Vicky starts talking about Tinder and she's like, I don't know about the Tinder. I don't get the Tinder. It's like crazy. Like, swipe left, swipe right. I don't want someone to swipe right at me. You know? I just want to find my soulmate and have sex. They're like, oh, Mom.
No, like what? Everybody has sex. Like, look, all I'm saying is that I'm a catch. Like, I want to wrap my vagina around a penis. Like, Mom, Jesus! No, I'm just saying, take a load off Granny and put it inside of me. You know what I mean? They're like, Mom!
You know, I just want a guy to go right down into my vagina with his tongue. You know, look around in there. I know sometimes it smells like mackerel, but that's okay. Some guys are into that. Mom, stop it!
I'm a catch. I'm low maintenance, okay?
Ryan's like, you're an hour late because you were getting your hair done.
She's like
the opposite.
She's like, oh, just have another taquito, fat guy.
When did I give my daughter permission to marry Homer Simpson? Oh, yeah, I didn't.
Okay, I'll get this check. Let me get it. When Vicky says,
I don't cuss fights, okay? I'm a catch. Like, I don't cuss fights. I'm totally submissive. And they were just laughing in her face.
Yeah.
And then everybody took a really awkward their drink at the same time. Even the kid almost barfs.
Like, yeah.
I just left something inside of me, and that thing is a penis. He's like, what? It's like little baby.
OE instantly learned how to like walk and drive a car and just leave the entire state.
Ball and pool. He's like drowning himself.
It's like ball and pool. He's like, I had to grow up real fast when I was baby. grandma talk about sex. I had to grow up and leave. They're like, when did you leave home? 16 month.
Oh, I love that her family is so over her. Her son, yeah. By the way, he may seem like the most boring person in the world. And I don't think so.
I think he's
just hilarious.
He is. He's got a dry sense.
He's like, here's some Ralph's. Here's roses. Some Ralph's flowers for your flowers. Birthday. And then after she's talking about sex, he tells her, wow, you really hit your head hard in that crash.
Yeah, seriously. Meanwhile, the flowers have all wilted in after this conversation.
Now, you know, we get a lot of weird fake Christianity from Tamara. So it's good to see a family doing it just the way Jesus intended. Praying in a limo.
On the way to a concert at the Blue Beat. So it was like, let's make
Dear
a
Jesus, it's me, David Bedore. I would just like to say Shannon is the best mother we've ever seen. Thank you, Jesus. Rub-a-dub-dub. Thanks for the grub. Love, David.
Cut to Mother Donna hanging on below the limousine like Robert De Niro.
I'm going to bite a cheek off, I swear to God.
Yeah, this was a really silly prayer. A prayer for, I mean, it's like they're singing one song. We don't have to bother God right now.
Dear Lord, I pray that Dreamcatcher stays the sexiest song I've ever heard. Am I right, dear? Oh, David.
Dear Lord, I pray that Dreamcatcher becomes a huge hit and my daughters have to travel the world and Shannon therefore has to go on the road with him and I can be alone. Thank you.
Or I can give them notes.
So, of course, Sterling is waiting there in the same smelly ass suit. I can smell it from over here, Sterling. Change your damn suit.
Yeah. And so the first people to arrive are Kelly and Michael, which is hilarious. And I love that, like, when David and Michael see each other, they give each other this total bro handshake. Like, yo, what's up? Let's bro out here at the Blue Beat while we watch some little girls play guitar. Yeah, bro.
This was the most awkward thing. Why would Kelly get there on time? Has she not learned that everybody's late? Like, she has to be there alone with Shannon. And they both have these tight smiles. Shannon's like,
hello, David. Ha, David, look who's here. Wow. Whoa. Whoa, David.
Wow. Whoa. Whoa. This takes me back to my magical state. Whoa. Ow. Ow. Whoa.
And David's like, hello, not dears. And not dears. Kelly's like, yeah, I just wanted to apologize for my drunken rant. Whoa, awkward. He's like, all good. And runs. He runs like, the hell away.
He's like, if you thought your drunken rant was anything compared to anything Shannon and Donna have said to me, you're wildly mistaken.
Okay, so all the girls start
showing up. I love how Eddie shows up and he's like so cool. He shows up wearing sunglasses. I'm like, you're at the Blue Beat, established in 1912. Okay, you're not cool just because you're going to like a quote unquote rock concert. Like, it doesn't make you cooler to walk in with sunglasses on. Okay,
and you can hide your eyes all you want, but everybody who's seen this show knows what you're thinking. Where's the flauta bar? It's the first time I've seen Eddie not standing around eating something with his eyes like completely not caring about anything.
Yeah. He's probably just admiring how even the floors are. Wow, so nice to be someplace where the floors aren't warped.
So weird how I almost tripped because there wasn't something to trip over.
Yeah,
the hell, Blue Beat.
And you put things on your shelves. So everything's, you know, it's those chit chat, you know, yada yada yada. And then Shannon's sister-in-law comes in, and guess what? Her sister-in-law is named Vicky. I was like, things are making sense now.
Projection.
So much misplaced rage.
Projection.
Yeah.
And before, and Tamara, she's like, well, maybe if Vicky called Shannon back, she would have gotten an invite to the Blue Beat. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Donna comes in and Shannon.
David's mother and sister are here. I haven't seen them since Christmas. They've never liked me.
Like, uh-oh.
Yeah. They've never liked me. Donna, by the way, looks like a nurse out of the habit. Not a nurse, a nun out of the habit. You know, she just sort of has that like serious look. She has a little scarf on. Like, yeah. You just can tell she's gonna be trouble.
She's just shocked at a restaurant.
It's like,
do you leave the combat much? She's like, oh god, neon pool. Almost smells like a cigarette.
I'm pretty sure Meryl Streep's character from Doubt was based on her.
Oh my god, I couldn't watch it. Wait, did I see that? That was about child molestation, right?
Yeah, and Viola Davis would snock me out her nose.
Oh, good lord. How many child molestation movies do we need, you guys? Okay, back to the show. Back to the show. But I just watched that one where the Boston Globe was investigating.
Oh, yeah, Spotlight. I want to see that. That one, Best Picture. No spoilers, please, Ronnie.
The priest did it.
Oh.
Okay. There's like 20.
David.
So I was hoping this was going to be a really good passive-aggressive mother-in-law fight,
yeah,
where the mother-in-law was really some sweet lady, but Shannon's so jealous and she didn't want,
yeah,
the mom talking to David on the phone, so she just got mad, yeah, and this was all in Shannon's head. No.
No, the woman's crazy. And she wasn't even a good passive-aggressive person. Like, a really skillful passive-aggressive mother-in-law knows how to say things in a really sneaky way. This woman was just desperate to get allies, to turn everyone against Shannon.
Yeah, she just walked right up to Kelly, who is the biggest enemy of Shannon, is like,
hello dear, I'm Donna.
Yeah.
Kelly, I don't see my grandkids a lot, because Shannon hates my guts, dear.
You know, if 90210 taught us anything, it's that when a Kelly and a Donna get together, there's always gonna be drama.
And no one wins in the end.
No. Yeah. She's just like, yeah. So she's like, yeah, nice to meet you. So I don't get to see my girls. You know, Shannon hates me. But anyway, what can I do? I'm just a poor old lady in a scarf.
Yeah.
Poor me, dear.
Poor me. And my other daughter, Vicky, she loves me so much. I get to see all her children, which she doesn't have because David married someone else.
Also, while we're talking about projecting, did you notice that Shannon's oldest daughter looks exactly like Megan, or is that in my head?
I think the daughter looks like Shannon.
Oh, I think she looks just like Megan. And I'm like, yeah, now she can just yell at Megan because she can't have any control in her own home. So she's like,
you listen here, young lady. You will catch a dream when I tell you to catch a dream.
Yeah, so Donna just keeps on going on. She's like, you know, I try to get along with her, but she's always got something there. And she just starts to cry. She's just crying, venting everything. And Kelly's like, whoa, I wish I brought my mom. They could have had a mom crazy off.
Hi, Tamara. I'm David's mom. Shannon hates me. He won't let me. Oh, hello. Hello, person with a camera. I'm David's mom. Shannon hates me.
Hello, potted plant. You know, I appreciate the way you don't talk back to me, not like Shannon, who hates me.
May I speak with Mr. Beat? I'll wait.
I'll wait. Oh, hello there, Mr. Santana. I'm glad you're willing to talk to me, unlike Shannon.
Is there a comment card so I can write down how mean Shannon is to me, dear?
Excuse me, Mr. Bartender, I'll have a vodka tonic, unlike Shannon, who just gives me a hate tonic at all times.
She's going on to Yelp like,
half a star because Shannon hates me.
But meanwhile, Shannon's like, I have been the bigger person for 15 years. The bigger person ever since she got drunk at my engagement party. Bigger person, not bringing up things from the past. Drunk. Engagement party.
I'm a very forgiving person.
I'm a very forgiving person, even when a big slutty mother-in-law gets drunk and knocks over a cake. David.
When I tell you not to call David anymore and you continue to call him at holidays and Easter, that is when you have crossed the line, youngish lady.
When you invited David back to Gmail after I expressly told him no more Gmail, that was such a betrayal, Donna. Such a betrayal. But I'm forgiving.
For you to get a second email with something called Yahoo after David cheated on me. Now that's just enough, Mama Donna.
For you... For you to sit there and revel in the infidelity and by saying Yahoo, Yahoo mail, Yahoo cheating, that's just great. But I'm very forgiving.
Meanwhile, in the background, Dreamcatcher,
yeah,
Dreamcatcher. It sounded like Brianna's son.
Yeah.
Well, Dreamcatcher.
I hear that they're going to be opening up for the Aaron Hendra experience soon, so I'm very excited for that.
Well, she's busy. I mean, she's not busy.
Yeah, they were actually better than Aaron Hendra.
October.
Don't get me started singing October, okay? you know that no one's going to be happy with that.
I think there should be a triple bill with Danielle Staub's daughter.
You're my sister, and I love you till the end. You're my sister.
Dreamcatcher!
It was such a blatant ripoff of Pat Benatar, it actually makes me mad. You're a dream catcher, dream catcher, dream catcher, and you know, na, 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 na.
You're the right man for me.
Oh. Patty anyway. Benatar,
she was mean to me once.
Oh, well, hello, waiter. Can I please have a side of Shannon's mean to me, dear?
So, of course, Kelly turns right around. Shannon Passage, she's like, well, hello. I hope everybody's having a wonderful time at the Lord party. And she's like, oh, hi, Shannon. Your mother-in-law just said that you're a fucking bitch and keep the children's house. Like, jeez. She's not even stopping. You're just, like, yelling the gossip at her.
Yeah, and Donna is, like, right on the other side of Kelly. And Donna's, like, in the middle of, and then one time I broke a dish and didn't even get a phone call from my daughter-in-law. I mean, I don't know what sort of daughter-in-law that is.
So Donna is now talking to Tamara and Kelly, and Kelly's like, oh, Tamara, she misses her grandkids. Look, Kelly, we don't all have a little built-in bobble-headed, terribly wigged mother who has enough drugs to, like, forget your existence. And by the way, no offense, mother, because I love you, and I don't blame you for all the Vicodin you're currently doing while your head bobbles. Kelly's your daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, Kelly, well, you need to be the bigger person, Kelly.
So then Donna is talking about how what a good man David is. And he's like, he made one mistake. He made one mistake. And she pushed him. It's like, dun, dun, dun. Oh. But I'm sure he regrets it.
I just wrote, what an awful human being. Shocker.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Tamara actually looked like, oh, Jesus Christ. Why are you telling me this? Why do I always have to be the one to do this? Bitch.
Yeah. Batch.
Which is rare for Tamara, because usually she's very excited. But yeah. She's like, oh, thank God I don't have to fake a fight with Megan anymore.
Well, she didn't have to say anything. She didn't have to say or do anything. But Tamara, you know, once she gets a piece of juicy gossip, she acts like she is, you know, put upon, you know, because she knows she just can't keep it secret. So that's, you know.
Well, she outs her later.
Yeah.
I guess, when they're upstairs.
Yes. But eventually everyone goes upstairs to have a little dinner, and Megan and Tamara are friends again because they hate being in a fight, so they hug and they're friends.
And Shannon's like, everyone, we're having food upstairs. Do not tell David's mother or sister.
Yeah.
David, tell them to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, David basically was like, hi, mother. Goodbye, mother. And just like, he peaced out. He barely even said anything to his mom, which is, I mean, there's a crazy situation going on there.
Yeah, he knows.
He knows.
He knows. He's like, bye. It's easier to say bye to you than say hi to you and live with her forever. Okay.
Yeah,
bye.
Exactly.
Get out.
Well, because we also learned that Donna had last year, I guess, told Shannon's kids that Shannon's a terrible mother. That's what Shannon did not appreciate.
They told, supposedly, she told my children that on Easter.
Like, okay. I don't know why that's the.
I'll tell you.
Shannon just gets mad about such crazy things.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Jesus wasn't the only thing that rose. My negative thoughts. I was at 170 that day. Ow. Ow.
I wish that there was a tomb empty. A tomb full of my negative thoughts. But nope. Still full. Is my tomb still full of negative thoughts?
Yep.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So, Shannon, she was bringing up lies while my children played music.
Yes. Instead of being a proud grandmother, she was bringing up lies. David. David. David.
So, Kelly, Shannon. Okay. Wait, Shannon, Kelly is like drunk now. So
yeah,
she's
Kelly's
still,
being
she
dumb.
She can't help but piss everybody off.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, but don't you want to make things right with that poor old lady? She misses her grandkids. And Shannon had like a piece of pizza in her cheek. Like she had one cheek completely full. She's like,
now please, Kelly. Now, Kelly, don't say it, Kelly. Kelly, they don't even talk. Kelly.
Kelly, I'm trying to like you right now, but you're making it very difficult. But she misses her grandchildren. She misses her grandchildren. She's a sweet old lady. Look, she doesn't even have a crazy wig.
She cried to me that she wants to be part of their life.
Well, then she wouldn't say I'm a terrible mother, like she did on Easter.
So, maybe she would have complimented my famous mashed potatoes instead of telling people that I'm a terrible cook. How about that?
If I have to listen to her talking about how I speak only with my mouth full.
Chew. Just chew first. You can finish the sentence later.
If she was such a good mother-in-law, why didn't she come visit me during my fake funeral? Why?
Did I get a carnation?
No.
Did I get a eulogy?
No.
Was my gravestone made of foam?
Yeah.
Listen, there's only room for one woman in David's life who has two N's in her name, okay?
Oh, Tamara, of course, cannot hold it. She's like, I'm going to have a nervous bitch breakdown if I don't say something, bitch.
She was Roger Rabbiting.
I'm going to have a nervous bitch down. Ready.
Remember the scene? Roger Rabbit, like, can't deal without the... meanwhile, Megan's like handcuffing Tamara to the table, and Tamara's slipping out of the handcuffs with her cartoon arms. And then Tamara just leans in and just like vomits it out. She said he started the affair.
You pushed him. Bitch. It's like slow motion.
And the best part, you know, Donna. She's crazy, but she's smart. She knows she knows exactly how to push Shannon's buttons. That's why she didn't even bother with any, like, social graces about it. She's like, I'm just going to put this out there as quickly as possible because I know it's going to make Shannon go crazy. And sure enough, Shannon is unable to be like, well, she's crazy. She's like,
Are you fucking kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
She just runs over to David. She goes, you know what, David?
Tamara says, your mother says you made one mistake and I pushed you to it. Are you kidding me? I've had fucking it. I didn't push it down. David.
And then Kelly's like, wait, it's not his fault.
Finally, Kelly has a shred of logic.
And then when David passes, she's like, don't worry, David. I'll tell her that it wasn't your fault. Kelly, shut up.
Thanks, Kelly. Great work there.
Shannon freaking out in the bathroom.
I'm fucking done. This is the worst lock concert I've ever been to. Sorry, girls.
Tamara's like, whoops. So basically, Shannon sobs for like 5 seconds and then comes back out. She's like, that is it.
Yeah, I love you. Okay.
Yeah, no, I got you, right?
Yeah.
No, that's. I am so happy with David. Ha! Ha! No, I'm not sad by Mama. Madonna? No.
He was like, well, ladies, Shannon has been the most wonderful lady. She's been wonderful to my entire family, dear.
But your mom said.
Yes, and I'm saying that you are wonderful. When you hurt, it's like a hug. It doesn't even hurt. You're just you're better than these French fries, huh, darling dear?
Well, I wish I would get that respect from your family.
David, so then David, why would you compare me to a high sodium treat? Why, David? Why?
And then they get into the limo, and the kids are like, was someone saying something bad about Mama Donna? And then they're like, and then David's like, well, dears, you know, she believes certain things that, you know, she believes are true, and then but aren't true. And then I forget what he said, but the child was like, David!
Well, dear, she was just saying things that she believes to be true, but that doesn't mean they're true, dear.
Shannon's like, that is offensive to me, David.
I was like, what, Shannon?
How do you think I feel, David?
And David's like, what I mean to say is,
Mama Donna is a piece of shit.
Mama Donna's a piece of shit.
Thank you, David.
Now, it's okay to say she's a terrible grandmother, but how dare she say I'm a terrible mother, David?
When the kids are, look, the youngest is like, well, sometimes you have to forgive. And she's like, well, I tried, but guess what? I will never do it, and let's pray. I love all these people bringing up Jesus. She's like, no, I will not forgive. It's like, do you remember that you just had a Jesus moment in the same limo, lady?
Yeah.
Come on. And David's like, well, you know. Oh, no. Shannon says, well, David's between
a rock, and a horrible lump of terrible person. What can you do?
Her daughters looked real. Her older daughter looked pissed. She's like, here was another great night that mom ruined.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That was grandma's fault, but really, Shannon, you act like that at your kids' event. Shame. 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 Shame.
But great for us, and we hope we see more of Grandma Donna, and I would like to hear what Sister Vicky has to say.
Nothing. She's like, I will take 90 things to go, put them in my trunk while Shannon's upstairs screaming. Thanks. Yeah. She, like, gets away with another bill paid.
Yeah, you know that, like, Donna and Vicky have some, like, some shady grift going on somewhere, you know? Like, they're probably the ones who stole all that money from Heather Dubrow.
Shannon's, like, shoving them in a pizza oven.
There you go.
Oh, it's better. At least you're buried with non-toxic shoes, Donna. Mama Donna.
Yes, enjoy those carbohydrates like a simpleton. Go ahead.
All right, Orange County.
All right,
we're
Orange
done
County.
With you.
Fun times. We will talk about you again next week. And right now, we can move on to quite possibly the most exciting television show on all of television. The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Previously on The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Could you open your mouth just a little bit? That probably took 5 hours to get Teresa in the voiceover booth.
Yeah. I'm done. So it starts with Siggy, Jackie, and Rosie getting together at a restaurant called Tap House. And I love how the first thing you hear is Rosie saying, "Hey, can I get 2 tappinis?" I was like, I mean, like, I just love the fact that this restaurant called the Tap House has a drink called the tappini.
Siggy!
Oh, God.
Siggy! They're like, "How are you, Sig?" She's like, "Oh, my son got his license. I'm supposed to be okay with that. I'm not okay with that. I can't rub my own son's thighs anymore."
I can't. I just want to put life in neutral, but it goes in forward, and God bless.
And Jackie, who's never made up for real with Tree, she's been such a faker. She's like, "Well, we're just talking about last night and how Kathy and Rosie came to the book signing in secret." God, please do something, Jacqueline. Please.
Please. And then Siggy's like, "You know what? This animosity is like a big pimple, and we just need to squeeze it and then get a whole bunch of pus on ourselves, and then we'll be pretty much in the same place as we were before."
Yeah, what is her weird, useless advice? Yeah. I'm glad you said pimple, because I wrote down pinhole. I was is she talking about?
You know,
at least pimple makes sense.
The last thing I want to do is squeeze the animosity pimple of this group. I'm like, just go to a dermatologist, get sucked out, and let's move on.
It's like a pimple, but then when you try and pinch it, your son's like, "Oh, stop trying to squeeze the pimple on my ass, Mom. It's gross." And I'm like, "Seriously?"
But you know what? That's what growing up is all about. Pimples and acne. That's what it is, and I love it. God bless.
Your family. What, she can forgive Melissa and Jacqueline, but not you? Yeah, they're not on the show.
Yeah.
She has to shoot with the other ones, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
So Jacqueline, blah, blah, blah. She's mad at Kathy because both of them have said parental things. And then it cuts to my favorite reunion ever where Rosie's like, "What kind of fucking throwdown?"
Yeah.
Back.
Well, it's kind of funny because they always show the clip of Teresa getting mad because Kathy's mom is like, "You do a bad thing, you're going to go to jail." And then Teresa's like, I'm so wrong. And then they're like, "Oh, but by the way, Teresa, you also said some terrible things. Like, my dad was twice the dad that your dad ever was to you." It's like, that's nasty. And then, because
they're
but I was
dead. Hurt. Like, that like hurt me. Like, it hurt me so deep. Like, I just can't. I don't want to be hurt no more.
Jacqueline. So the big thing in this scene is that they're going to make, Siggy is going to facilitate a lunch between Kathy and Rosie and Teresa. And Jackie's like, "I don't know if she'll follow through with this lunch. I don't know if she'll follow through."
So in the meantime, Melissa goes and brings Joe to Botox because why not? Because they have nothing else to do on this show these days. So He gets Botox, like, oh, I'm afraid of needles, you know? And no, I'm no longer a Botox virgin. Hey!
Oh, God, the Gorga romantic Botox. FF.
Yeah, yeah. But by the way, now Joe Gorga is mad at Kathy's mom, too, so that's great.
It's basically like the situation we just talked about with Shannon and David. Mm-hmm. It's easier to just listen to the one who's going to yell at you the most. He's like, listen, Teresa will yell at me for the rest of my life. These bitches, I don't care about. Like, honestly, I don't care. They yell at me less. So,
yeah.
And he goes, family's supposed to be behind you. You're not supposed to agree. They agreed. They agreed with their mom, who said nothing really that bad.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you. So then, big news. Ashley's going to go to Hoboken. Really exciting. I'm glad we were watching this.
And she's about to marry Milhouse.
Yeah.
Who does that?
So we watch an extended scene. I don't know why this is not like a bonus clip that should have been on BravoTV.com. But they go to Hoboken and they have such exciting conversation. Like, I love this time of day. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. So they walk.
Oh, God. And then the music stops. And they just show a close-up of them holding hands. And there's no music or any talking. And then again, she's like, I love this time of day. Oh, God, you guys are killing me.
And then he just basically shoots his wad. Before he's even down on his first knee, he's like, Ashley, will you marry me?
Like, blah, 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 blah.
Will you marry
me?
He's like, yes. So
this is like, Ashley talks in that way. It makes me crazy when people talk like this, when they say, it's like when you're a little girl and you think of what being proposed to is going to be like, and you're like, yay, you. Why are you third personing yourself? You're unbearable enough in first person, okay? Don't bring a third into it.
Listen, every little girl dreams of getting proposed to in Hoboken, okay? So just let her have her moment.
By the fake lock fence.
Yeah.
That fell into the real Paris River.
It's just
the
like
of
the
Kyle's
sin.
Love.
It's just like the sin. Like with Kyle Richards and Mauricio. So then Ashley goes and is like telling everyone, she's like, look, you know, the typical thing. Like, does this sweater make me look fat? Does this ring make me look engaged? And then Jacqueline's like, ah. And like, you know,
you know he's going to be a good Jersey husband because he says things like, I can return her in 90 days, right?
So this goes on for like 10 minutes of airtime. It just keeps on going. And I like when Chris finally comes. Like they even show like the little brother's reaction. Like he gives a shit. He was like, oh, cool. And then Chris comes home. And he doesn't even notice at first. And she's like slapping him with the ring. And he's like, oh, cool. And then he gives this toast. And he's like.
It's like selling it.
Yeah, he's like. Selling it. He's like, you know, in life there'll be bumps in the way. But love comes first. And they're like. Wow, how do you always say the right thing, Dad?
He's like, guys, I want to make a toast. You know, there's popcorn, and it's sold already. But then there's little popcorn, which is like popcorn, but littler. All right, toast, cheers. I bought their little kernel popcorn, and it literally is tiny popcorn. Did you know that?
I knew it. Yeah, I knew it was supposed to be tiny popcorn.
It's
I saw
weird.
It at Sprouts.
It was delicious, by the way. I got the kettle corn one, so for all the shit we talk...
It's a stronger brand than Blackwater. It actually looks adorable. I saw it at Sprouts and I thought about getting it, and I don't even like popcorn that much, but then I didn't get it.
I did feel like I was gonna choke because my mouth knows I'm eating popcorn, but it doesn't know what tiny popcorn is. And I was like, don't swallow too soon. You're gonna choke to death on this little kernel.
I don't think I need tiny popcorn. I actually would like my popcorn to be bigger. I think it'd be a more satisfying chew. Right?
Like this is the most interesting part of this Jersey segment. Popcorn, big or little.
Yeah, because by the way, this engagement that no one cares about just kept on happening. Because then they went and they called Albie. And it's like, oh, Albie, guess what? Ashley is engaged.
And my potatoes were finished. I was now salting potatoes.
And then it's like a commercial break. We come back and Siggy waking up. It's like, hey, Siggy, guess what? Ashley's engaged. I'm like, this is still going. Like, do we need Siggy's reaction?
I love that, though, because Siggy's in bed and she goes, shut up. Shut up. I can't believe you waited till today to tell me. She goes, I didn't. I sent you a group text last night. She's like, oh.
Yeah. And then it cuts to Melissa and Tree doing like a suburban speed walk. I'm like, finally, we can move on. And they're like, So, did you hear that Ashley's engaged? Yeah, wow, great. Yeah, I'm like, we're still going to, it's like everyone's going to talk about this now.
Oh, God. I don't even know what Teresa was talking about. She's had, yeah. I don't know if it was just really freezing out there or if she's just had too much post-prison Botox, but she's like,
Jack didn't have a good wedding, so maybe she'll be into doing this anymore.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What is wrong with you?
And somehow she turned it into like what she's going through with Joe about to go to jail, which I don't think is ever actually going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Joe loves weddings, so, you know, I don't know if he's going to hear about it. He's going to be sad. You know, he's not handling jail well or camps, the camps.
He'd rather go to wedding camps than jail camps. But, you know, it's like, what's going to happen? You know, we can walk, power walk.
Yeah, but it's going to be great for him because, you know, it'll be like the detoxing because, you know, like he's drinking so much, like he's drinking for breakfast, Joe.
He has Cheerios with his wine. Like literally he puts the Cheerios into the wine glass.
He has to drink every day or he can't sleep.
Melissa's like, that's called alcoholism.
Yeah.
No.
We call it drinking camp.
Well, yeah, it's just nice to see him commit to something.
So
awkward. And Mel says, this is the closest we've been in a long time. That is so sad. Please just stop pretending.
Yeah. And then they encounter a sprinkle cookie on the pavement and all hell breaks loose. So and, then Siggy
some
goes.
Some guy, Milhouse proposes to it.
Yeah. So Siggy then goes and visits Melissa. And I don't even remember what they talked about. All I know is I was so distracted because Melissa had these strange little cutouts under her arms. And it was like an entire top sewn together properly. And then these little holes, like gills, really bothered me.
I was just really worried because they were sitting in the waiting area of some restaurant. It looked like the waiting area couch. And Siggy's head was right in front of the fire. I thought, do not bring anything up confrontational when your head is that close to a fire with Teresa.
I'm sorry. It was not just any restaurant. It was Rails. The preeminent railroad restaurant. what's the New Jersey train called again that goes from Manhattan to Jersey?
The
Path.
Oh, yeah. The Path.
The number one rated restaurant off the Path. Rails. I'm gonna get a rail teeny, please. It better be better than the tapini, okay?
The tapini. So Jacqueline, did we already say Jacqueline's there? Siggy, well, Jacqueline, and Tree. Tree, I guess.
No, this is right? You've jumped ahead. Actually, shockingly, you managed to jump ahead in this very exciting segment. But basically, it's just that Melissa wants the group to go to Vermont, even though they just went to some shitty spa. But now they're going to go to Vermont. And then we have a scene of Dolores at the gym. Because this is before the Rails restaurant.
With Maz.
Yeah.
He's like, well, welcome to work, you dumb cup fitness. Glad you could take your time out of your day, you idiot.
Like, okay, Maz. Like, I've said I'm sorry, okay?
Yeah, Dolores is basically going around annoying everyone at the gym. She's like, hey, you're working out here? Okay, yeah, I love watching you work out. You work out so hard. You know, it's like my son. He works out all the time. You know, you never used to hang out. You know, he's only 17. You know, he grows up so fast. You know, and I always tell my first husband, he's going to grow up so fast. He's going to get the abs. Before you know it, he's going to be an adult. But then my next husband, he was like, wow, I don't know if about this husband. But then the first one, he's like this. I'm like, you know, we all work out as a family a lot. Then boo.
Yeah. Oh. It's an elliptic machine. I like those because, you know, your son can look like he's running away from you, but he doesn't go nowhere. It's not like when you get him a car and then suddenly it's like, where are you? You're gone. You know, like, did you hear about Boo? You think Boo wouldn't want to be here on an elliptical? Unfortunately, Boo can't because Boo's dead. My family's never seen me cry.
The guy's not even there anymore. It's just a towel. Hey, wasn't there someone here before?
She's the only person who can actually get gym people to start running again.
Yeah, and so she starts giving. Jackie shows up, and she's getting people running again. And she's showing the gym off. She's like, "Here's the spin room. I don't love spin. You know, I spent so much of my life spinning. You know, like everything was a spin, like a tailspin. Like my first marriage was a tailspin, but then that was like a honeymoon compared to my first fiance. After that, I mean, then I was like really spinning. I mean, I was like on the Trabant at the carnival. I mean, like it was going so fast. I mean, I wanted to barf the entire time. I was like on the swings. I'll tell you what swings. The pendulum of life. That's what swings. You know, and they're like." The gym is closed, actually.
Yeah, and right when you've been here for 3 hours, can't get any worse. She's like,
"All right, so tell me about Ashley's engagement." It's like, "Oh,
it's." I wrote that down also.
Please go more. So Siggy, Jacqueline, and Tree. Now this is where she's in front of the fire on the couch.
Yeah, now they're at rails.
Yeah, rails. Rails. So Siggy's like, we had drinks with Rosie, and she's devastated. Okay, we want to figure out a place in the middle. Like, here's the tree mountain. There's the Rosie Lake. Is there a road that curves around and goes around some trees, and maybe you can meet in the middle? What about that?
And Tree's like, no.
Tree's like, la 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 la.
How do you say capiche in Jewish? That's a great question. When I'll ask Saba.
Now, Teresa is still obviously medicated because she's like, guy,
I don't think I'm involved in your family's life. You don't get involved in my family's life because she brought my dad into it. When
they show Richie being like, so what do you think of your niece being a jailbird and being guilty?
Yeah.
Which Richie is... He's a shitster. I wouldn't want to hang out with Richie either, personally. But
yeah, but he's a shitster to... Well, because Teresa treats Kathy so terribly, so of course he's going to be like, fuck this bitch.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, I don't know. It's the husbands on these shows. I don't like when the husbands roll around with the women. You know, it's creepy. Yeah. Especially when they look like a Lebanese Dame Edna. I just can't get behind it, Richie. All right, have a seat.
Well... So Teresa basically tells these women, stay out of it, shut up. And she's like, she's starting to get mad. But here's what was shocking. At the end, she's like, okay, I gotta go. I didn't mean to get snippy with you. I'm sorry. I'm like, whoa, Teresa. Having some self-awareness and apologies? Whoa, this is major.
She was being very, very mature. And another thing that was really funny, which people on these shows don't know how psychic they are, but Teresa just went to jail for basically... you know, signing paperwork that was fraudulent. And they showed a clip of her and Rosie back when they were friends. And she goes,
yeah, Rosie, I got a paper route girl because of you.
It's like, oh my God. Now all you do, you're in trouble for rerouting papers. It's a very long way of saying that. And I was like, oh, it's like psychic.
Yeah, exactly. So I love that when Teresa left, Siggy turns to Jacqueline and goes, Jacqueline, this is deep. I'm like, really? What gave you that idea? Congratulations, Siggy. You've really unraveled a mystery here.
Teresa just left him at the hostess stand.
Like, okay, bye.
My rails.
So does production still pay for our caprese?
Our train tracker, Rita?
Can I have some bruschetta train track? Train track bruschetta. Siggy, Kathy, and Jacqueline. Jeez. Now, I just wrote, Jesus, these losers. Episode has been scene after scene of people nobody cares about talking about people who dumped them a long time.
Well, at this point, it started to get more interesting, I thought. For once, it started to get more interesting. But by the way, did the Wakilis get a new house? Because they used to have that very, like, you know, standard, like, upper middle class house with, like, the tiny kitchen. And now, all of a sudden, they're in a McMansion.
Oh, yeah. Don't you remember last season when they showed Kathy for, like, 5 minutes? And she's like, he's my house. He's my new house.
Because they were building a house with Kevin Jonas, right?
Yes.
That's right.
Wait, were they the ones building it with Kevin Jonas?
I honestly
can't remember if Kevin Jonas was at the Gorgas or their house, but yeah.
It may have been the Gorgas.
It feels like a weird dream that the Jonas boy was on here.
In a construction capacity.
So Kathy's already yelling. She's like, we just want to make up. I mean, she said my father was a worse father than hers. I was like, oh, this is not going to go well. Siggy, but she forgot she said it. So this is at Kathy's, and now it's
the
basically, one side. It's Kathy's family, the Gorgas, and
Siggy.
Siggy
and Jacqueline.
Yeah.
And then, so then basically Kathy is like, yeah, well, you know what? All this stuff that Teresa told you, well, here's this side. She didn't mention how she said this, this, and this. And then Siggy just starts to cry. I'm like, why are you crying? She's like, I cry at everything. Like Joshua and his beautiful buttocks.
You would cry too if Joshua's thighs happened to you.
I feel like it's Shabbat dinner and there are no candles. Crying. So anyway, so this was interesting. So Kathy is venting here And Melissa's like, honestly, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Like, I'm really sick. I don't want to talk about it. And they're like, hello, we sat here for 3 years while you vented and we listened. And now all of a sudden you're not going to listen when Kathy finally has something to say.
And she's like, yeah, but we're trying to be in a better place. And Jacqueline, well, they're trying to be in the same place that you're in. Jacqueline, shut up. None of this has to do with you.
Yeah, I know.
None
Ashley
of
got
this.
Married. Ashley's got engaged.
Jeez. And I love Joe Gorga trying to like lay it down in a nice way. He's like, guys, here's all Teresa was saying. She's just saying you're horrible people and she'll never forgive you. That's it. Yeah. That's okay. That's actually really mean what you just said.
He's yeah.
Like, what?
So then Richie's just like, you know what? This is what Teresa's jealous of. We've been together for 25 years. And then he like kisses her. And then they're like, oh.
Yeah. And Melissa flat out. She's like, just to clarify, because Teresa's kind of slow. And we need this for the reunion. Are you saying you think that Teresa doesn't have that? And Gorga, you know what you said? You want to throw a stone, you live in a glass house. And like sometimes you're going to throw those and then they're going to pop back. You're going to crash a house. What are you doing, brother?
Your tongue doesn't have bones, but it can break bones. My tongue has bones.
He says in Italian, he's like, picante sauce ragu raguru. And Kathy's like, that means your tongue is soft, but it can break bones.
Ragu ragu. Meatball linguine.
And then stupid Rosie.
Yeah, she just gets into tizzy.
I mean, Rosie's just cuckoo bird.
I love it.
She goes from, why can't we just be friends? There's always these problems that always land. Who is it land on? It lands on my sister.
Yeah. She's right. She's right. It does land on Kathy. But, yeah. So then they're all fighting and everything. And Joe's like, hold on, hold on, hold on. And they're all just being loud in Italian. And,
They all end so lovingly. They're like, damn you, damn you. And he's like, okay. I'll call my sister and I'm gonna tell the tree it's time for a sit down. They're like, okay, cheers, kisses.
Exactly. So then
it's the Hoboken.
So then Tree and Joe go to work out and Joe's like, we gotta make it right. She's like, I'm not gonna talk with them, I'm not gonna sit down with them. I don't wanna.
Oh god, he's worse than Ramona, this guy. Like, the first thing he does, he's like, hey, just wanted to see you. So, you know, Richie says that he's just jealous because he's with Kathy and he's happy. And you're with a stupid fat alcoholic. She's like, And even that doesn't set her off. She's just like, I'm just so sick of it. I'm sick of being hurt, you know?
Yeah. So then she assents to have a sit down with the cousins as long as Joe's there. So guess what? Time to go back to Rails. The most popular railroad restaurant in all of New Jersey.
Listen to what Joe actually told her to talk her into it. He's like, Tree, it's like all them girls I used to date in high school, you know? Like, they bother you, like, they won't leave you alone until you say, I'm through with you. Classy. It's another strong moment for feminism on a housewife show. Kathy. Okay, sorry. You moved ahead to the dinner. I just forgot that Joe was such an ass. So it's time for the sit down, and Rosie and Kathy are in there.
Rosie started crying.
Kathy's like, I just don't want to dwell in the past. You're right.
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, I love Kathy, but everything that Teresa would say, Kathy would then like try to take ownership of it also. She'd be like, man, a lot of things were said. I know, a lot of things were said. You know, like everything was like, I was like, Kathy, that's not how you have a productive conversation. That's not how you heal things. You're supposed to listen and say, okay, well, here's, you know. So, of course,
welcome
it all
to
went
Rails.
To shit.
Would you like an appetizer? Yes, we feel very welcome at Rails. Would we like an appetizer? Just answer the goddamn waiter, Kathy.
So Tree was actually, she was shockingly speaking honestly. She's like, well, I don't like Richie and you guys never sent me a card. And then there were, I don't know why I gave her a Boston accent, but you know.
It breaks my heart. They had to trickle down to the parents.
Yeah.
Like, I love your Reaganomics.
Yeah.
In the middle of your family fight.
And then she's like, you never came to visit me. Like, Teresa, how are we supposed to visit you? And it's called Google. Google Danbury. Send me a card to Danbury.
And Rosie's like, don't you remember? Don't you remember when I was trying to get on that thing, Joe? Which she meant the visiting list, which I learned from watching Teresa's 3-episode special that only like 2 people were allowed on that list. So she never even let Melissa go. So this is very handy for Teresa to be.
I agree.
You didn't visit me.
When yeah. no one could visit her.
Yeah. And so then eventually Teresa's like, I want to cut the cancer out. I'm like, not in front of Kathy with Victoria. Don't say that.
Oh, God. No kidding. She's so tone deaf.
So then eventually Teresa kind of like lays it out. And is like, I don't want to have, she basically says, I don't want to have a relationship anymore.
She's yeah, like, Rosie's you'll... like, just say it to my face. You don't want to be the sisters. You don't want to ever have moments where we laugh and cry.
And she's like, yeah.
Yeah. Now,
but you're still family. My door is always open to you unless you want to actually walk through it.
Call me if you ever need something, because she's family. So if you ever need something.
And Kathy's like, yes, well, if you ever need something, please call me mm-hmm. as well.
And somehow, even though, like, Teresa just said, yeah, I really don't want to have anything to do with you. Like, you don't matter enough for me to make amends with you. And, like, I will, like, I'll help you if it's, like, out of sheer obligation. But that's, don't expect anything more than just, like, the most perfunctory assistance. They're all like, great. And then they, like, cheers and, like, hug. And, like, bye, love you. Love you. Love you.
And I love Kathy's argument. Like, she's had years to prepare for this one sit down. And Teresa goes,
yeah, but Richie put my cookbook in the garbage.
And Kathy goes, yeah, but I pulled it out.
Meanwhile, says Teresa, who put the sprinkle cookies in the garbage, for Melissa. So listen, the garbage move has been done before. They learned it from the best.
Melissa didn't write the sprinkle cookies.
Oh, gosh. So then the shocking thing is that Teresa's crying on the way to the car, which is weird and hilarious to watch her nose try and scrunch up.
I know.
Which meant it was real.
Yeah, that was. Well, I'm like, well, don't you see how much you're crying? Don't you then maybe think you should just move on and have a relationship with your cousins? It's not that big of a deal. Like, you can just say, you know what? Fuck. We both did things wrong. We both were acting crazy. Let's just be friends because it's much easier to be friends. How about that?
I'm usually on everybody else's side, but every time they show a clip of Kathy and Rosie, it's not like Kathy and Rosie are really being supportive behind the scenes. Every time they had a scene before, they're like, well, she deserved it, right? Yeah, but God bless her. She's our cousin, but she deserves the blame. Like, whether or not it's Teresa's fault, no one wants to see that in the scenes.
Well, I think the problem with Kathy and Rosie is that they just are, they're kind of like, they're so rarely upfront. They're like a little passive, even passive aggressive, and I think that just irks everyone that they're around, you know, rather than just saying like, hey, you do this, you're a motherfucker, stupid person, da, 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 da. And then they're like, okay, yeah, I respect that. Okay, we got it all out, we're Italian, you know.
Yeah, and then they get victim-y behind the scenes, like, well, Teresa, like, you don't know what she did to me. Like, oh, come on now, you're shrinking violet. Yeah. Teresa's not right, but that doesn't make you right. Okay, y'all. Now let's all cheers.
Well, that brings us to the end of an exciting episode. So everyone, thanks for listening. Hopefully we'll see some of you at the LA Podfest this weekend. Don't forget about our tune-in gossip show. The next episode will be up tomorrow, and we'll talk about Bethany and Andy Cohen, which is great, and also Kelly Dodd and Tamara. Remember to go weigh in on our new little feature, the Crap-In Super Fight. That'll be super fun, and we'll put that up on Patreon for you, and we'll talk to y'all on Thursday.
Bye, everybody!
Bye! Can't get enough Watch What Crappens? Head over to TuneIn now and check out exclusive content from our podcast. Each week we'll provide bonus material including
exclusive hot takes on Bravo shows,
the latest in reality show gossip,
and impressions of Bravo reality stars. Check out Watch What Crappens on TuneIn Premium. Download the app and subscribe to TuneIn Premium for just $9.99 a month today.